WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The FBI says it has solved the 1996 case of a brutal double murder of two young women in Shenandoah National Park. Excessive heat is combining with a flash drought in Virginia this weekend, with almost no rain relief expected anytime soon. And the big political story this week was Tuesday's primary, but also the General Assembly will need a do-over. After deadlocking on the issue of military educational benefits, and Jeff Shapiro reviews the week. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, June 21st. The FBI announced Thursday that it had solved a crime that shocked Virginians more than 28 years ago. DNA has now identified the killer of two young women, a couple who were camping in Shenandoah National Park. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports.
For nearly three decades, the FBI has been trying to figure out who killed 26-year-old Lolly Winans and 24-year-old Julie Williams. U.S. Attorney Chris Kavanaugh says the two loved hiking and camping.
Lolly and Julie met through an organization providing outdoor adventure and educational programs for women, and they planned a trip to Shenandoah National Park in May of 1996, entering the park on May 19th. Their bodies were discovered on June 1st of 1996.
In 2021, the FBI launched a fresh effort to find their killer, according to Special Agent Stanley Metter.
The team conducted a methodic review of everything in our case file. They reassessed leads, reexamined evidentiary items, photos, and interviews. One thing we had to look closely at was advancements in DNA.
With a grant from the Justice Department, they were able to access an advanced lab, then send findings to an FBI database.
Our positive match is to Walter Leo Jackson Sr., a convicted serial rapist from the Cleveland, Ohio area.
Jackson died in prison in 2018, but officials have linked him to three other rapes and are calling on the public to reach out with any new information about him. I'm Sandy Hausman.
Julie Williams and Lolly Winans were partners, and the killings sent a wave of fear through the LGBTQ plus community, but the FBI said Thursday that there is no evidence that the women were targeted because of their sexual orientation. Virginia Senator John Warner is promoting federal legislation aimed at limiting the loss of obstetrics services, especially in rural areas. The Virginia Mercury reports that the Keep Obstetrics Local Act would increase Medicaid payment rates for labor and delivery services to hospitals in rural and high-need urban areas. It would also provide payments to help hospitals cover the cost of staffing and maintaining obstetrics at low-volume hospitals and require all states to provide postpartum Medicaid coverage for up to 12 months after birth, which Virginia already does. Rural hospitals are shutting down their obstetrics units in part because they can't recruit and retain OBGYN professionals. A heat dome is setting up over Virginia just a few days shy of a new law that aims to protect those who can't pay their utility bills. Those protections could make a big difference in the months ahead. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
The idea started during the COVID-19 pandemic. As people lost their jobs, they also lost the ability to pay their utility bills. It was an issue that stood out to Kaja Foskey with the Virginia Poverty Law Center.
Utilities were shutting people off during a time where everyone needed to stay home. Everyone needed access to power, water, things that would keep them healthy and safe.
Understanding how often utility shutoffs occur in Virginia was hard because reporting on disconnections isn't required, but numbers obtained by Energy Justice Lab's Utility Disconnections Dashboard found about 0.5% of utility customers faced a shutoff during the last 5 years. That led Senator LaCherise Ayer to work with Delegate Irene Shin to come up with a pair of bills that forbid utility shutoffs during states of emergency and extreme heat, above 92 degrees, and extreme cold, below 32 degrees. It also forbids disconnection on holidays and Fridays, which could leave someone without power for days. Here's Senator Aird.
People need to know that they have rights. They have protections from having their utilities disconnected.
The bills sailed through both legislative chambers with bipartisan support and were signed by Governor Glenn Youngkin. And while the heat will spike before it goes into effect July 1st, a spokesman from Dominion Energy told Radio IQ the company will, quote, continue monitoring the forecast, and it's already started following the rule governing holidays, suspending shutoffs the day before and during Juneteenth this week. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
In addition to this weekend's excessive heat, meteorologists say a flash drought is developing in Virginia. A flash drought is the rapid onset or intensification of drought. Currently, the National Drought Monitor reports that almost all of Virginia is under at least abnormally dry conditions, but much of the Blue Ridge region and the Shenandoah Valley are now experiencing a moderate drought. And there is no immediate relief in the forecast. Little to no rain is expected over the next few days. That, combined with soaring temperatures, is drying up soil and causing rivers to run low. Farmers and gardeners will be struggling to keep crops healthy without irrigation. Virginia is making progress in increasing forested buffers planted in the Chesapeake Bay watershed. The Virginia Mercury reports that the program is aimed at reducing pollution and sediment erosion and increased the covered acreage from 2022 to 2023. Riparian forest buffers are the trees, shrubs, and bushes planted along waterways that catch nutrients running off from land before they enter and pollute waterways feeding into the Chesapeake Bay. The roots also hold on to dirt along stream banks, preventing erosion from clouding streams and rivers that the fish swim in. The bay's watershed in Virginia extends all the way from the bay to Highland and Bath counties. Well, finally today, time for our politics review, and there's plenty of fallout from Tuesday's primaries to parse through. Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope recap the week in politics and state government.
Big week for Virginia politics with the primaries, both Democrat and Republican. Jeff Shapiro, let's start in the 5th congressional district, where it's still too close to call, this race between incumbent Congressman Bob Good and challenger John McGuire. What's the latest?
This is that very red, very rural district that extends from roughly Charlottesville south to the North Carolina-Virginia line. One cannot discuss what occurred in the 5th without talking about the individual who is really driving primaries, Democratic and Republican, and that would be Donald Trump. The former president endorsed John McGuire, challenger John McGuire. This was revenge for incumbent Bob Good supporting Ron DeSantis for the 24 Republican presidential nomination. The endorsement clearly helped, but barely helped. John McGuire has a majority of about 300 votes. That is within that half percentage point range that could trigger a recount paid for by the state. There seems little reason for a fellow like Bob Good not to support a recount. May have been a transcription error somewhere along the line or a misplaced vote. So we'll see. But it's a McGuire win that could be described as ugly.
So Trump is not only influential in the 5th congressional district, he's also having some influence in the 7th congressional district up in Northern Virginia, centered in Prince William County. What's the influence up there?
Yeah, Eugene Vidman, that former national security aide who was a figure in the Trump-Ukraine impeachment controversy, was easily nominated for that open seat. He brought to that contest a certain amount of celebrity, if not notoriety, largely because of Donald Trump. It also meant that Vindman was able to raise a lot of money, some $5 million, but more than all of the other candidates combined. Vindman would certainly seem to be the favorite to hold that seat for the Democrats. It's open now because Abigail Spanberger is quitting Congress to run for governor in 2025. She is now the all but official Democratic nominee for governor in 2025.
Now, another big development from the primaries was in the 10th congressional district centered in Loudoun County. Jeff Shapiro, what happened in Virginia 10?
Suhas Subramaniam winning a 12-candidate Democratic field. He is the first Indian American nominated for a congressional seat from Virginia. And given the demographic makeup and the partisan inclinations of that Northern Virginia district, he would seem likely to become the first Indian American elected to Congress from Virginia. He is a state senator from Loudoun, a jurisdiction, the demographic makeup of which largely reflects the state, about 42% Black, Asian, and Hispanic.
And then one more topic quickly before we end this week. So earlier this week, the members of the Virginia State Senate were in Richmond. They didn't really do all that much. They're expected again today. What's going to happen?
Don't know about this do-over. What the Senate was attempting to do the other day was force a trade, restoring these veteran benefits that were nearly canceled out or could be canceled out by provision in the state budget in return for finally legalizing those electronic gambling machines that you see at filling stations, convenience stores, and restaurants all around Virginia.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we've got for this week, primary week. My name is Michael Pope, and we've been joined by Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Talk to you next week.
Have a good weekend.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy your Friday.